Well, it's hard to believe that it has been 6 months at least since I have stood here in this pulpit for the purpose of proclaiming God's word. As we begin, I just want to thank you again for your prayers for me, my family, my children, as we've navigated our own health crisis this year, the ups and downs. So thank you for your prayers. I would ask that you continue to keep us in mind. We're not 100% there yet. There are still some good days and bad days, good weeks and bad weeks. You may even notice by my voice today, not 100% yet. So continue to keep me and our family in your prayers. But I'm thankful that today I am standing, I'm upright, and I have the strength again to open the Word of God with you. Now, I had intended and I was quite excited to finally return to 2 Timothy. If you can remember that far back, over 6 months ago, we were working our way through a series called True Faith Stands True. We are working expositionally, line by line, word for word, through 2 Timothy. But then, as we just prayed for, I'm in one of those seasons of life where difficulty comes and the dark valley comes. And I know I'm not the only one who's been in those situations recently. Those situations where we experience all of the mix of emotions and feelings that come with a loved one passing from this life unto the next. In my case, as we talked about, it's one of my young country leaders at work in the ministry I work for. But I know many of us have experienced this dynamic, this topic of life and death, for it's something universal. It's a reality that, like it or not, every single one of us will face ourselves, and it's something that we also tend to experience with those around us as well. For some of us, our experiences with life and death are more expected. The passing of an elderly parent or grandparent. But then at other times, as some of us have experienced recently, the passing, the tragedy, is unexpected. It comes at a shock. It leaves you without words to speak. But regardless of our experiences with life and death, when we reach those moments where we're faced again with it, with the passing of someone we love, it forces us again to address those foundational, deep questions and topics of life. Those questions like, what is the very meaning and purpose of this life? What is life itself? What is the nature of this life I've been given, and what is death? What's on the other side? So considering so much of my time the past 2 weeks have been given to these hard questions that we all face and ask in life, what I'd like to do today is simply delay our restart to our 2 Timothy series for one more week to simply share a few selected reflections from Scripture on this topic. Many of these texts will not be new to you, but knowing that several of us have gone through the unexpected passing of someone we love recently, it is my hope that in sharing these texts, in sharing this short reflection, we will be reminded again of the incredible truth and hope and peace we as believers have in the face of life and in death. So as we begin today, what I'd like us to simply do is reflect on a specific question. Again, to our guests, we are an expositional preaching church. We tend to go line by line through the Bible. But today we're going to be topical for one Sunday. And I'd like us to consider the question, is death loss or is death gain? Is death a loss or is death a gain? I think instinctively as we reflect on that question, our natural instinct is to say it's absolutely a loss. If we go to a funeral, if we go to a celebration of life ceremony, those are the exact words we choose to express our condolences to the family. We say, I'm so sorry for your loss. And when I sat down just Friday to begin writing the email that would inform thousands of people in our Vision Trust family, that a beloved sister was preparing to pass. Those are the same words that instinctively came to mind. I wrote, "Today our ministry suffered a great loss." And it makes sense from our finite, limited point of view. Death does seem like an incredible loss. For it functionally removes our ability to laugh and to cry, to embrace and play with those people that we love so dearly. Death leaves a void in families that we can never fill. It leaves gaps and holes in church families and ministries, communities that can never be fully replaced. To us here on earth, bound by space and time, death appears to be a great and tragic and terrible loss. Yet is this how God sees and understands death? How does the infinite, all-knowing, all-powerful, immortal creator of space and time itself see life and see death? What are his thoughts and understandings on this topic? And can we even know? Well, the good news is that God has spoken to us on these very real, raw topics in his word. And as you'll see in a number of passages in your handout today, in a handout that should look something like this in your bulletins, God has spoken to us in a number of places. And what we're going to do today is simply work through a number of these texts in a short reflection to see what does God say about these topics of life and death. And just as a pause, this isn't in my notes. Those who know me know that I was raised in the mission field. I've lived and worked between all kinds of different cultures and languages, and I understand these topics can be taboo. There can be different ways of talking about them in different cultures. So if anything today feels like I'm stepping on a cultural toe, as it were, just blame it on my cross-cultural international upbringing, and I'll apologize later. So let's begin with the topic of life. We know from the creation accounts of Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and from texts like Psalm 139 that life is no accident. Scripture makes clear to us that every single life from the moment of conception is by His design. We see those famous words in Psalm 139 which read, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb," the psalmist says. "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." In other words, no one alive today, from the time of Adam and Eve all the way through to us, is the result of a random cosmic accident. But instead, every single life is the intentional creation of the sovereign will of God in creation. And as such, life itself, the life that we have, the breath of life within us, is a gift from God. It's a gift to us. But if life is a gift, then what about the opposite? What about death? What does Scripture say about it? Well, we know from the events of Scripture that death entered God's perfect creation because of Adam's sin. God said in Genesis 2:17 that if Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then in that day, God said, you will surely what? You will die. That would be the consequence of eating. A death, we learn from Scripture, had both physical and spiritual consequences, as in the death of our physical bodies and the spiritual death of being cut off, separated from the one we were designed to be in perfect relationship with, our Creator God and Heavenly Father. So with this stern warning before them, what does Scripture tell us they did? Was the events of Genesis 3 tell us they ate? That is, they sinned against God. And as a result, as texts like 1 Corinthians 15, Ephesians 2, and Romans 5 in your handout tell us, sin and death entered and contaminated God's perfect creation all the way from Adam through to us today. Romans 5:12, for example, says, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, that is Adam, and then death through that sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. So we see in Scripture that death is the result of and the consequence for our sins against God. A truth Romans 6:23 makes clear famously when it says the wages of sin, the cost of sin, is death. And just in case any of us here today thought we were born perfect, we were the exception to the rule, we had never done anything wrong in rebellion against God, we remember that Romans 3 earlier tells us that actually all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Scripture is clear. From Adam through to today, all of us have sinned with death as the consequence. So in summary of what we've covered so far, Scripture tells us that life is a gift. It's His gift to us. It was His original design for man and for creation, and that death was never His original intent or design. Yet because of Adam's sin, everyone since that time is born dead in trespasses and sin. That is, they are born spiritually dead, cut off, separated from God. A separation that begins when they are born physically into this life and then extends for all of eternity when they die physically. Which I don't know about you, but that sounds like some terrible, awful, horrible news. And to answer the question we are reflecting on today, is death gain or is death loss? In answering that question according to Scripture, it sounds like death is a horrendous, terrible loss. Not only does it remove us from the gift of the physical life God intended for us in the beginning, a physical life without disease, without strife, without war, without evil, but death also separates us from the perfect, sustaining relationship we are designed to have with our Heavenly Father, separating us for all eternity from the perfect peace and love and hope and harmony with God. And as such, in answering our question, death is surely a terrible, terrible loss. But if death is so terrible, what then do we do with the words of Philippians 1 on the back side of our handout? Philippians 1, 18 through 21, specifically verse 21, but let's read a couple lines for context. Philippians 1 says this, "Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed. That with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death." And then it goes on to say in verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." After all we've looked at today, how is it even possible to consider that death, to die, could be gain? Didn't we just establish that death is surely a terrible, horrible, awful loss? Doesn't verse 21 here seem to contradict all we've just covered? What can this text mean? Well, what is emphasized here is the good news to counter that terrible news. What is meant here is the second half of all those verses we've quoted or alluded to today but haven't read yet in full. Let's examine Philippians here and then the text again in our handout to see what I mean. The first thing we see in verse 21 of Philippians is that to live is Christ. Now that sounds great, to live is Christ, but what does that actually mean? How would you explain and define that? Well, as we've covered today, all of us are given the gift of physical life. We're not cosmic accidents, we're designed, we're knitted together by the Creator. But although we are all given this gift of physical life, what is in view here is our spiritual life, our spiritual condition. Because we're all given physical life, we are born and enter into the world under the sin of Adam, stained and contaminated by sin, and as a result, dead spiritually in our trespasses and sins. We do not live as Christ. We do not live with Him. We are by nature hostile towards Him, rebellious towards Him. We're not perfect and holy and righteous as He is. But just as the physical life that we are given is a gift from God, so too is new spiritual transformation and new spiritual life in Christ. See, even though we are by nature children of wrath, even though we are imperfect, corrupted, sinful, and not righteous, God still makes a way for us to be reborn spiritually from death unto new everlasting spiritual life. How? Well, that's where we get to some of our text again today. But not just the first little snippet, but the entire text in full. So let's look at a couple of texts we began quoting. But let's read the whole thing and pay attention to some of the most important words in Scripture, which are but, and, so, and these types of things. Romans 6:23. We already quoted today, "For the wages of sin is death." But, what does it go on to say? "The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Romans 3, which we also quoted today. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And, what does it go on to say? "Are justified by His grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation for His blood to be received by faith." 1 Corinthians 15:21 through 22, I believe on the front side, says, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death," that's what we covered, "by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." And then if you remember from our 2 Timothy 2 series, it famously says in 2 Timothy 2, "If we have died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him." And then perhaps most importantly, it's a passage we know well, but is very applicable to today, Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. I know we know this text, but it speaks to both the bad and the good news we are discussing today when it reads, "And you," yeah, all of you, not me, you, just kidding, me too, "us, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature, our very nature, children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Church, while it is true that because of sin, we are all born spiritually dead, what is equally true is that in Christ Jesus there is new spiritual life available as a gift to all who will receive by grace through faith. See, it is grace through faith that we pass from spiritual death unto everlasting new spiritual life. This is the good news to counter the terrible, awful news of the death we just discussed. This is the gospel message, that Christ Jesus paid the penalty for your sin and my sin, which was the death we deserved, by giving His perfect life unto death as a ransom for our sins. And then by rising again in power, conquering sin and death itself, he now offers to us and every person alive the opportunity to receive new spiritual life by grace, through faith, as a free gift. When we accept this gift, by dying to sin itself through the repenting of our sins and the turning to place our faith and trust in Christ Jesus, we, as 2 Timothy 2 says, die with him. We are dying to our old sin and self by repenting and confessing our sins, and then we are born again with him to live and reign with him in new everlasting spiritual life, which then allows us to declare Philippians 1, verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ. For we have died with him, we have been reborn with him, and our life is fully hidden in him." And it's important we understand this first part of verse 21, this important truth, because that's what leads and makes sense of the next part of verse 21, which says, "And to die is gain." See, although Christ has conquered the eternal consequences of spiritual death for us, we all must still face physical death in this life, assuming the Lord tarries. And apart from Christ, if our life is not in him, this physical death that we will all experience is absolutely a loss, as we covered. In fact, life and death apart from God is the greatest tragedy known to man. For death without Christ is a sentence to an eternity of torment separated from God. But, and this is the good news, for those who are in Christ, for those who can say, "For to me to live is Christ," when they die, when the believer dies, as we all will, the believer's physical death is not a sentence of condemnation to everlasting separation from God, but is instead the sentence to our freedom. Our death, our physical death, is the gateway to our reunion with our King and Savior Jesus Christ forever. Physical death is our supernatural transportation from this mortal body of sin to inhabit our new spiritual bodies of perfection, restored, perfect harmony and relationship with God our Father, as it was intended to be in the beginning. When the believer faces physical death, they're removed, just like that, from this existence stained by sin and sorrow to one that is completely without it, just as it was in the garden in the beginning. And in this way, we see that Philippians 1 is indeed true. Death is actually gain for the believer. Because death means this war with sin that we all fight is over. And the burden of the consequences of sin in our lives is over. And the toil and the strife and the suffering of this life are over. And we receive the promised hope and eternity that Scripture speaks of. And an eternity we get a glimpse of at the end of our Bibles. Look at these words from Revelation 21. I think I've printed them in your handout as well. This is the hope the believer looks forward to. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things have passed away.'" This is what the believer has to look forward to on the other side of our physical death. Because of the work of Christ Jesus and his matchless grace and boundless mercy, we as believers have no need to fear physical death. For death is the day we ascend to glory with God our King and to our eternity where tears and pain and mourning and death itself shall be no more. And this is why, for the believer, death is not at all a loss, but instead is an unimaginable, incredible gain. So in closing on this short reflection, Scripture is clear that we will still feel the sting of physical death in this life, as many of us have recently. The passing of a loved one does still bring grief and sorrow. But as 1 Thessalonians 4:13 makes clear, we as believers, we don't need to mourn and grieve without hope, for we know our beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord have passed from this life not to everlasting condemnation, but to their freedom and glory and gain in Christ. And the same is true for every believer here today. If you have died with Christ, that is, you have been born again by grace through faith in the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ on the cross for your sins. If you have received this free gift of Christ's righteousness imputed to you in exchange for your sin and the consequence of that sin, which is death, if you have done that, then your living hope, your eternal assurance in the face of the physical death we see in this life and the evil and the suffering we all live with, your hope in the midst of this is those lines that we sang this morning. No more guilt in life. No more fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's very first cry, from that gift of God of physical life, to our final breath, Jesus is the one who commands our destiny. For there is no power of hell, nor any scheme of man, that can ever pluck a believer from God's hand until Christ returns or he calls us home through the gateway of death. Here in the power of Christ, the believer lives and stands. In these powerful words, we see summarized in song the truth of today's reflection, that Christ Jesus is our certainty. Christ Jesus is our Savior. And Christ Jesus alone is our hope in both life and death. May you find your hope and your peace in your life in Christ Jesus today. Let's pray.